Welcome to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Produced by Allmont Global and brought to you by Barbados Tourism Marketing. The beautiful island of Barbados extends a warm welcome to visitors with the new 12-month Barbados Welcome Stamp, a visa that allows you to relocate and work year-round from one of the world's most beloved tourism destinations.
Andrew Humphreys is acting CEO of Qatara Hospitality, which has an amazing portfolio that includes Bürgenstock, which will host the 2021 World Economic Forum. Hear Andrew now. Andrew, what is Qatara Hospitality?
Hi, Mary, and great to be talking to you again. So Qatara Hospitality, ultimately, we're really a real estate company. We're a real estate company that invests in hotel assets, a fairly narrow band of hotel assets, on behalf of the state of Qatar and our parent company, QIA, Qatar Investment Authority. So we're really essentially an owner only, but we do have a small operating arm. So a little bit of a mixed bag, but our main focus is hotel ownership and management of those iconic assets.
Now, what do you mean by a narrow band? Because I think of Qatara, and you have enormous complexes, Bürgenstock, for instance, and you have intimate properties like Buddha Bar in Paris. What is your band width, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, like all hotel companies that have grown up over the years, there's lots of different shades of grey there. But our primary purpose is to invest in iconic properties, gateway cities, primarily Europe, US, regional and Asia. But within the deals that are done, within deals over the years, we've acquired different types of properties. But our real focus is those iconic city center, gateway city properties. And that will remain our strategic direction.
Are you not interested then in what people call new builds, something that is coming along new without any history?
We are. I mean, we locally here in Doha, we've got, in fact, two new builds, one that's just about to open, one that's in the middle of construction, opening early 2022. And then we have what is virtually a new build, which is a total and complete redevelopment of the Doha Marriott. So, but we're primarily owners. Typically, we acquire properties, existing properties. We have a development arm, but, and we have a strong development arm, but it's not our specific area of focus. Typically, it's acquiring existing assets.
Now, you mentioned Marriott. You actually work with a whole range of brands. You have IHG, both with the Amstel in Amsterdam and the Carlton in Cannes. How do you feel about one brand versus another?
You know, each brand has its own benefits, and there are many different strategic alignments that we can do within brands. So if we have an HMA that is pending, we will engage numerous brands in that discussion, and they will have their strategic objectives, and hopefully our strategic objectives and the right brands will end up with the right commercial terms and the right brand fit. They're all strong players. They all have their own areas of strength and expertise. And we try to be very selective in who we choose for a specific property. There's a long evaluation process. But nevertheless, the brands bring a lot of value. But we also we would also engage with smaller brands if they were the right fit for a specific property.
You came from one of the most prestigious brands. How does that help you personally in your job now, Andrew?
I think irrespective of the line of business, or almost irrespective of the line of business you're in, whether it's hotel ownership or hotel operation, or the automotive industry, you know, it's all about people. It's all about making sure you've got the right people doing the right job at the right time. And you know, what I learned certainly from my time in hotel operations, that that's the key to success. It's actually also the key to success in hotel ownership and in the real estate business. You know, you need the expertise, you need the right characters, you need people working as a team. The rest is easy.
Could you have done what you're doing now had you not come up through operations, Andrew?
Yes, I think, you know, I think we can all learn new skills. I've learned a tremendous amount since I joined Qatara 4 years ago and a year as acting CEO. And I've been able to acquire that knowledge and that skill base. It goes equal in the other direction. I think you have to have a fundamental understanding of the hotel business, the way it works, particularly in terms of what luxury is and what customers value. If you don't have that understanding and you come from a very different background, that would be a challenge. But I think both hotel ownership and hotel operations, there's lots of crossover in between. So yes, I think I could have done this job without being in operations, but like, you know, equally, it could have been done in the other direction as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned the word luxury. I've just been at a luxury block conference, and I've did find from all the participants how luxury is changing, particularly in the eyes of the ultimate consumer. It's no longer the biggest is best. It's what you want, it's what the individual wants. How do you see the perception of luxury changing at the moment, and how is that affecting your existing properties and how you're looking to the future?
I think luxury has been evolving for a while to be less formulaic and less scripted. Luxury had gone through a little bit of a cycle, started by one of the most brilliant brands, Ritz-Carlton, where consistency was central to what they delivered. Consistency in design, consistency in service, look, feel, smell, taste. And that worked brilliantly and still does work brilliantly in some markets. But I think as people become more sophisticated, they value individuality a bit more. So I think that's been evolving for a while. What I think has happened, my sense is, and this will take a while to play out, obviously, but the COVID crisis has somewhat accelerated that, because I think it's made people reevaluate what is really important. Versus what's a nice to have. And I think that the process of greater individuality, greater customization, and focusing on what's really important to people on a smaller scale is the direction that luxury will be moving in for the next few years.
You have hotels in so many areas of the world. Do you see a difference in luxury, for instance, in the Comores, in Asia, in London, in Lucerne?
The answer is that there's some commonalities, and I think commonalities, you know, continues to be value for money. The price tag of luxury is high by its very nature, but I think there still needs to be fantastic value for money at whatever level you pitch yourself. And that means delivering a fantastic physical product, a fantastic service product, and delivering something that is, as far as possible, unique. So I think that is sort of the benchmark of luxury. Obviously, by location, people are looking for different things. If we're, you know, in our mountain resort at Bergenstock in Switzerland, people are looking for a different experience than if they're going to Raffles Singapore. But the fundamentals of luxury are you have to offer great value for money.
And I always think, actually, Harrods, which is also owned by Qatar, is value for money. If you want something and you can't find anywhere else where you might find it, go to Harrods. I bought some Riedel glasses in Harrods simply because I knew I couldn't buy them anywhere else, And then I got them home and discovered they were 800 size and held two bottles of wine rather than 400. But never mind, being Harrods, I was able to take them back. Andrew, how does Qatara work with such other Qatar brands as Harrods and that one and only soccer team, PSG?
Wherever we can develop synergies, we do. So PSG has a very close association with Accor. There's a sponsorship arrangement there. And we have the state of Qatar has a significant position in Accor corporate. And we also, Qatara also own a number of Accor hotels, Raffles Singapore, Almost in Paris, the Plaza New York. So wherever we can, we ensure we use those synergies. And PSG have assisted us in some PR efforts, and we'll continue to try and work those angles. We had a discussion with, an active discussion with Harrods that didn't materialize, all for good reasons, about working with them in one of our properties. So we continue to try and leverage that ownership position. It certainly helps, and there's some wonderful brands in the Qatari portfolio.
Actually, Harrods as a hotel has been talked about on and off for many years. Now, at the moment, is that discussion on or off?
To be honest, I'm not that close to them on the hotel side. I don't believe it's progressing at the moment, but my knowledge of that is limited. We were talking directly to them in terms of of the retail side.
It has a retail brand that is just known worldwide, probably even at the North Pole and the South Pole. You talked about the Plaza in New York. That was a very large hotel that was made into a smaller hotel with lots of residences. Are you thinking possibly in today's need for more smaller key count hotels that could possibly happen to some of your other larger properties?
I think the conversion of the Plaza into a pure hotel, condo hotel, and residential happened at a certain point in time. It's not an easy formula to make work. We're not contemplating it at any of our existing properties, simply because actually most of our existing properties wouldn't have the capacity to do that. Having said that, we are adding some specific residential components that are somewhat standalone, but that benefit from the hotel services in Carlton & Cam, and we have a significant residence component in the Bürgenstock Resort. So we'll continue to look at those opportunities where they make sense. But in terms of continuing down the line of selling off private residences and condominiumizing hotel rooms, it's not something we're actively pursuing at the moment.
There is definitely a blurring between the traditional concept of a hotel and residences and workspaces. We've got some properties around the world opening up their public areas into workspaces. We've got retail coming more and more into hotels. We've got people who want to live in a residence in an apartment that actually has all the hotel facilities. This blurring is absolutely fascinating. Perhaps hotels shouldn't be called hotels any longer. You are based in Doha. What is so special about Qatar and its hospitality, Andrew?
In Qatar, there's been a significant focus on hospitality as part of the government's plans for developing Qatar as a destination, a leisure destination, a corporate destination, meetings and incentives destination. So there's been a significant focus by the government on developing hospitality. So both from our own developments, which are obviously were state-owned, but also many private hotel developments. Obviously, a key driver at the moment is the World Cup in 2 years' time, or just over 2 years' time. So that's a significant milestone in the development of hospitality in Qatar. But for example, we're just in the process of opening an absolutely beautiful beach resort on 3.5 miles of wonderful beach in Qatar, which I'm absolutely confident will be a world-class destination. We have 82 private villas with pools that are available for rent. They're not private villas. And then we have a 246-room hotel, significant sports development there. So we have a major new component in Qatar's hospitality lineup, which is a true beach resort.
Andrew, it sounds as though your life is incredibly busy and full of future activity. What would make your life easier right now?
Good Lord, that's a probing question, Mary. I think greater visibility of the future, but unfortunately no one can see the future and it's a little bit cloudy. So, we're making decisions where we have such limited visibility on the future, and that makes life complicated and it makes every decision agonizing.
Thank you, Andrew Humphreys, and we all wish you all the very best for making sure that WEF 2021 at Qatar's Bergenstock Resort above Lake Lucerne will be even better than perfect. Good luck, Andrew, and we know you can do it. Next week, by the way, I'm going to be talking to Mike Firstman, who is the CEO of a very new band, Pendry, P-E-N-D-R-Y. So far, it's only in the US, but wait as it grows and extends its reach. Pendry is lifestyle for millennials, but also for older, more mature, more experienced, but still young at heart travelers who want to combine quality and lifestyle. See you next week when I'm talking to Mike Firstman about Pendry.
You've been listening to the Mary Gostelow Girl Ahead podcast, produced by Allmont Global and brought to you by Barbados Tourism Marketing. Join us next week for another extraordinary insight into the world of luxury travel.